300 different churches, you get a lot of different things. So anyhow, they're finding out that there's a lot of people that actually do focus on it. So when I got to this passage, I was like, boy, I had a lot of discussion with my daughter over the last several weeks on this topic. And my first thought was, yes, Lord, I accept the challenge. But after much prayer, the Lord said, no, I don't think I want to do that. And I'll choose to go to a different way. So let's read Ephesians chapter 1. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 6 here again. It says, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace, and the grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to you as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that we find in it. Just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would just speak the words that you would have me to say, that they would flow in a way that we would hear and understand and be able to respond to. Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, as I prayed about this and thought and asked the Lord how you would have me look at this, I felt like the Lord was telling me, encourage me to look at what is the gospel? What is salvation? And why? And what is our response to it? And so this morning, I'm going to walk through. I know probably most of us here this morning, I have no doubt that most of us here this morning know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And so a lot of the stuff that I'll be sharing this morning is probably old news to you. But bear with me as we walk through it. Just give ourselves a little refresher course on some of this, and then towards the end we'll see how this can apply to even those of us that already know Christ. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray that you would just listen attentively and hear the truth of God's word here. And so the first thing that we need to realize when it comes to salvation is that all men have sin. All men are sinners. All men have sin. And we can go through many different passages in the scripture that talks about this. But I just want to look at two of them. One of them is very familiar, and both of them are fairly familiar. One of them is very, very familiar. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, become short of the glory of God. But let's turn to Romans 5:12. It's still a very familiar passage, or familiar verse, but I want to point out to you, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for all sin. Any person that has ever been born, Christ is Jesus Christ himself. Any person that has ever been born has sinned. We're all sinners. And you know what? In all reality, this is not something that's too difficult for people to grasp. Most people, if they're honest with themselves, like all people who are honest with themselves, would say, yeah, I've done some things that weren't quite the best thing to do. I've done some wrong things. I have sinned. I've done some bad things. Most everybody will easily admit that and recognize that that's true. So most of us would readily admit that they have sinned. They have done some bad things. They have done things that are wrong. What is sin? When I was in Child Evangelism Fellowship, went to their training, they encouraged us how to explain things to children, and a simple explanation of what sin is. Sin is, they explain it this way, three things. Sin is anything I say, anything I do, or anything that I think that displeases God. Okay, simple as that. Anything I say, do, or think that displeases God. You know, Jesus says that if a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said, if a man looked at the bondage woman and lusted after his heart, has committed adultery. And so there's the thought life. Even just the simple thoughts that we think that displeased God, that's all it is. And so we all are sinners. So it's very, pretty easy for a person to recognize and to admit, yeah, I've done some bad things in my life. The second, that's point number one, all have sinned. The second point is that we're all, because of our sin, all sinners are hidden for hell, or the lake of fire. Turn with me, if you go to Revelation chapter 20. I hope you have your Bible ready this morning. I do have a lot of verses that I'm going to read this morning. From Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to start in verse 10 and go all the way down to verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. It says, "And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and men shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged there again according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So there is a judgment. Now again, this part, a judgment, is not very difficult for most people to accept either. Most people know that when you do something that is wrong, there's a punishment for it, right? If you're on the highway and you're doing 85 miles an hour, and the speed limit's only 65, and a nice officer pulls you over, you know that you deserve a speeding ticket. You deserve a fine because you're breaking the law, you're doing something that was wrong. You deserve, now if you give half a warning, that's awesome, you know? That's a little grace, a little mercy that is shown upon us. But you know that you deserve the fine because you were breaking the law. You were doing something that's wrong, therefore you deserve the punishment. So it's, again, it's not too difficult for people to recognize that they deserve some sort of punishment. Now where it gets a little bit more hairy is what punishment they deserve. They may not necessarily think they deserve to go to hell for all eternity, but that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. And there are actually other people that think that this punishment shouldn't be as severe. It could be less of a period of time. But it's not too difficult for people to recognize that they're sinners. It's not too difficult for people to recognize that there should be some sort of punishment. Now these people see that there's a problem and they want to fix it. I heard put this one way once. There's a chasm between us and God, between humanity and God. And when I heard this, I kind of pictured the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Remember the story? Lazarus and rich man, both of them died. Rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. He wakes up and calls out, says, "Send Lazarus over here so I can have some relief." He says, "There's this great cavern or chasm, or ditch, or however you want to say it, in between us and you. And nobody that's from there can get to here, and nobody from here can get to there." Okay, so that's kind of the picture I have of this person. So there's this chasm between humanity and God. And a lot of people think that they can build a bridge between us and him. And we can put all our good works together, and we can build this ladder or this bridge between us and God. That's not possible. I was looking at this, heard this last week, about the vastness of our universe. It's huge. Okay? It's enormous. In fact, every time they think they see the end of the universe, they get a bigger telescope, and voila, there estimate that I heard this person estimate that the first star away from us is 85 million light years away. 85 million light years. How many estimate that? I don't know. It's hard for me to grasp. But do you know how far a light year is? A light year is a measurement in which light travels in during 1 year. Does anybody know how fast light goes?
186,000 miles per second.
186,000 miles per second. Let's see that a little bit further in perspective. I want everybody to do this great count to 1,001. Okay, ready? 1,001. Okay, light just traveled around the world 7 times. 7 times. One second. Okay? That's fast. Jet flies for a living. Flight is awesome. It's amazing. When I remember when we were kids, we would travel out to see my grandparents in New Jersey. It's a long trip. And my car, it took us somewhere around 36 hours to drive from here to New Jersey. Jeff probably could do it in a couple hours of flight.
5 hours.
5?
Yeah.
What about a fighter jet?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. A fighter jet would do it too. Okay? The amount of time it takes light to get from here to New Jersey is not even measurable. It happens so quickly, you can't even fathom. Okay? So 85 million light years away. For us to think that we could possibly build a bridge from here to there is just idiotic. And yet, you would have a greater chance of doing that than you would earning your scholarship. You would have a more likelihood and possibility of building a contraption that would reach from here to 85 million light years away than you would having a contraption that would bridge this chasm. It is not possible for humans to do that. And yet, people think that we are going to fix this problem. There's a problem, there's a separation between us and God, and we can fix it. It can't be done. That would be like somebody saying, I'm going to build a bridge to a star. You laugh at that person. It's not possible. So first, we have that all men have sinned. Second, we have because of that sin, all men are destined to punishment. Separation from God in this fire. The third thing is God provided. God provided salvation because he loved us. Let's use that same analogy where there's this chasm between us. What we see here is that God in his ultimate wisdom looked down and realized there's no way that you can get from there to here. It's not possible. He said, but however, I can. So God provided the bridge, if you will, the ladder, the span that could span between humanity and God. He provided that, and it was through Jesus Christ, death on the cross. He came down here. We couldn't go to him. So he came down here to us. He lived the perfect life. And he provided salvation. Paid for the bridge. He was the bridge. He paid for it with his own blood. Turn with me if you would to John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I know, again, this is not an unfamiliar verse for most of you. But a lot of times we stop at John 3:16. I like to look at John 3:16 all the way through 18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not is condemned already, because in God he hath not believed the name of the Son of the name of the Lord God, the Son of God. So God prepared this because he loved us. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the to life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the only way to heaven. I am the only way. Now, there's a lot of different roads around here to get from one place to the other. We're going to go to Kimball. The easiest way is to stop on 71 and go. There's a lot of roads that we can go. We could take Highway 26 and go all the way up and get to Sydney and then come back that way. It'd be a long trip that way. We could go all the way over to Highway or Interstate 25, come down to I-80 and then come up that way. It's possible. It's not quite as easily. It's a lot longer trip, but it's possible. There is only one way to heaven. And it's through Jesus Christ. That's the God provided the way. He said, you cannot get here. He was the one that built the bridge. He was the one that paid for that bridge through the blood of Jesus Christ. The second part of this is, it's a gift to us. No man deserves this. God didn't say, there's a few of them down there that are going to work really hard, and they're going to deserve it, so I'm going to provide salvation. No, it's a gift. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Again, we oftentimes stop with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but let's look at the whole thing. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says, by grace are you saved through faith. And by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. So it's a gift for us. God could have put any stipulation on this, on salvation that he wanted to. We're the ones that offended him. We don't get to decide what the payment is. Like me breaking Levi's window on his truck and saying, well, Levi, I got 5 bucks for you. Sorry about that. And Levi said, no way. You got a lot more than 5 bucks to fix that window. God was the one that was offended. We're the ones that offended him. One that chooses what the punishment is and how it can be erased. And so God said, I am giving this to you. I'm not charging you anything. You don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. The other point to this is he draws us to him. Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 3, sorry, I'm ahead of myself. That's the next one. I think it's chapter 2, that's the next one. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, there is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none good, good, no one. None of us are on the path towards God. None of us seek after him. It's kind of like using the road analogy a little bit. We're on our road to life. And God puts up these detour signs. That frustrates sometimes. God keeps putting up these detour signs in our path, and he's saying, salvation. That way. Salvation is this way. Come with me. Come on. It's this way. We go around the detour side. Keep on going. God is the one that is drawing us to him. We don't run to him. There's two more passages that speak on this. Are John 6:44 and John 12:32. John 6:44, John 12:32. But anyhow, it says in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will rise him and raise him up in the last day. So God is drawing us. John 12:32. Ephesians 2, it says, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Alright? And so it's not, we're on our pathway, going the direction we want to go, just living life, and God's putting up those detour signs. He says, salvation. You know, it's kind of like those things that talk to you while you're driving, the GPS things, you know, and they say, rerouting, whatever those things are.
Place where
and worship many idols. Maybe he was an idol worshiper. Very likely he was. But he realized whatever it was that he was trusting in to span that chasm wasn't it, and it wasn't going to work. And he saw that what they had was. Look what he said. He says in verse 30, and when you read 30 through 34, it says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Notice what they said. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized in all his strength. And when he had brought them into his house, he said, meet before him, and rejoice in the meeting of God with all of his house. So here, this question is literally the very question that's asked of Paul. What must I do to be saved? And so, a person realizes they're a sinner. Pretty easy to do. Yep, I've done some bad things, I've done some wrong things. A person realizes that they deserve punishment. Not too hard to realize either. Yep, I've done something wrong, I should be punished. There should be a consequence for it. Difficult. But the only way to avoid that punishment is to punish. God provided. People don't like to swallow that. That's what the Bible says. That's what we have here. That's what the scripture says. And for a person to say, okay, now, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the kind of salvation. It's all right there. That's the kind of salvation. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's it. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, as the Lord. We're all sinners.